Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 8:15, we're now crossing over, inshallah al-Aziz, to Uncle Brother Abid Awji. And, you know, talking to him yesterday afternoon, Brother Salim, at 5 o'clock, he had a host of problems. He had diarrhea problems, he had a headache, he had some plumbing problems, his car broke down. Shame, poor man. Uncle Abi, are you there? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You know, when I spoke to you yesterday afternoon, Uncle Abi, at 5 o'clock, I was worried. It sounded like you're getting a bit of hiding from your wife. But I'm sure it wasn't that. Everything okay, Uncle Abi?
See?
I see everything okay your side.
No, alhamdulillah, I'm a bit tired today. It's a bit overcast here, so the last 2.5 hours I was on the treadmill, so I just got off now.
All right, Jazakallah. Okay, let me tell us regarding the story that caught your eyes. Not the person that caught your eyes, the story that caught your eyes.
Well, as you know, yesterday I was under heavy pressure. I've got three trips coming up and visa stories and all kinds of things, so I was all stressed out. And so I don't have very much to speak about in this section where we normally look at the strange, the weird, and the wonderful stories that made it into the newspapers. But I did come across something that was quite amusing and maybe even helpful to some people in certain situations.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it has happened to you where you sometimes find yourself in the company of people that you don't know very well.
Yeah.
And no one says anything. There's a kind of an awkward silence. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Your son is interested in a girl. So the arrangement is made to go over to the girl's house for a meeting with the family and maybe discuss whether anything can come out of this. So on the Sunday afternoon, as decided, you and your family go over to the girl's house.
Yeah.
The men are all sitting in the lounge. The girl's father, uncles, and other serious-looking assorted bullies. You and your son are welcomed into the room and introduced to all of them. This is Dr. Anwar. This is Uncle Jakes. You know, there's always an Uncle Jakes.
Always Uncle Jakes.
He's usually a motor dealer. There's always a motor dealer in the family. And of course, every family has a Dr. Anwar. He smokes a cigar, and on Sunday afternoons, he takes out his convertible BM, and he puts the top down, and he drives around town. And there you are. You take your seat there in this lounge. Yeah. Uncle Jakes will usually begin the conversation. Hey, very hot today, eh? Or maybe he'll say, hey, we have a lot of rain. Or maybe, hey, the drought is very bad, eh? So that kind of conversation about the weather will take up 11 and a half minutes exactly. I've done research on this subject. And then you have silence.
Yeah.
And you drum your fingers on the side of the chair. Hey, man, what to speak about? What to speak about? And then you are saved. The tea and naan katai comes. That takes about 15 minutes. Once again, silence. Silence. You know, you want to say something. Ah, yes, excellent. Zuma. Ah, now that's a subject you can get your teeth into. And as you start speaking, Dr. Anwar says, yeah, but Gordon must go to court and clear his name. And everybody is very quiet because Dr. Anwar once had Ramaphosa at his house for supper, so he's very clever. Uncle Mo says, yeah, but what they charging him for? And Dr. Anwar fidgets a little bit and he says confidently, yeah, but whatever it is, he must face the music.
Mm.
So clearly Dr. Anwar doesn't know what he's being charged for. That's when you jump in because you read somewhere about the rogue unit with the SARS that Pravin Gordhan set up, which is regarded as illegal. And then after 2 minutes while you're speaking, you run out of steam. You suddenly feel like a show-off, like you spoke too much, like a super usiyar, like a clever. And some sweat suddenly appears on your upper lip.
Yeah.
Then there is silence once again, and more silence. There is just nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
So listeners, where is all this leading to?
Yeah.
My dear listeners, I'm sure that you have been in situations like this, where you rack your brains. You rack your brains for something to say, and you just go absolutely blank. Well, good news.
Yeah.
Help is now at hand to rescue you from this very awkward situation. I came across this article.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a fellow by the name of Matthew Santoro. who is a YouTube star, a sensation. He has 5 million subscribers.
Yeah, yeah.
What does he do? He provides you with some strange facts that you can use whenever you are stuck for something to say. Here are some examples after the tea and Ankatai. You can say very loudly, for example, very confidently, you know, there are lots of crazy laws in the world. Some include, it is illegal to wear a bulletproof vest while committing a crime in the state of New Jersey in America. and here's another one. You can legally marry a dead person in France as long as you were engaged to them before they died. Right? Or maybe if that doesn't impress them, then maybe you can use this one.
I'm taking points down, Uncle B. I'm taking points.
I'm sure you're never speechless, eh? It says that the artist Salvador Dali used to draw on his checks as a way of getting out of paying for dinner. He knew his very artsy, arty-type doodles would be more valuable than the check itself, and the check would be sold at a very high price because he was a very important artist. So that's one fact you can throw. Or maybe you can try this.
Yeah.
You can tell them, you know, around 1760, when King Louis the 16th was a child, he was warned by an astrologist to be on guard on the 21st day of each month. What followed was very bizarre. On June 21st, 1791, he and his queen were both arrested following the French Revolution. And on September 21st, 1791, France abolished the institution of royalty and proclaimed itself a republic. Finally, on January 21st, 1793, Louis the 16th was beheaded. Wow, that should impress them, right? But you know what? If you really want to steal the show, maybe you can try this one. You can say, you know, Dr. Anwar, if the population of China walked past you in a single file, the line would never end because of the rate of reproduction. And if they didn't catch that one, especially the car dealer, then you can say, you know, if the Chinese formed a straight line and one by one walked past you, that line will never end because more Chinese will join the end of the line because every minute hundreds of new Chinese are born. So anyway, after all of that, just if you delivered these gems, let me tell you what happened. Just after you and your family leave the girl's house, the conversation amongst the uncles would be, hey, those people look like very nice people, eh? The Bali, he knows a lot, eh? He's quite intelligent, eh? Or maybe just the opposite. The father and uncles call the girl into the lounge and say to her, Betty, there is something wrong with this family. The father is ekdam ullu. Suddenly he was talking about the Chinese, about King of France and all, man. Betty, think very carefully, okay? Think very carefully. Maybe this thing runs in the family. That boy was also very quiet. Something not right here.
Jazakallah. Let's take it further. 24 minutes past 8 o'clock. Yes, Uncle Avi with his stories. Very interesting. Uncle Avi, let's talk about the United States elections. What's the latest there?
Can I just mention what we spoke about? You know, last week, I looked into the burkini. Well, I don't mean literally, you know. Don't get the wrong idea. I looked into the subject of the burkini.
Gee,
can I speak a little bit about that?
Oh, we don't trust you, Uncle Avi.
And how the burkini thing has created a huge crisis in France. But let's look at the history of beachwear. I went to Wikipedia and here's what I found. In the 18th century, women wore bathing gowns in the water. These were long dresses of fabrics that would not become transparent when wet, with weights, I like this one, with weights sewn into the hems so that they would not rise up in the water.
Oh,
and in the 19th century, the women's double suit was common, comprising a gown from shoulder to knee, plus a set of trousers with leggings going down to the ankles. But for some time, many women were... talking about this dress here, can you imagine this, dear listener, this kind of garment, double suit, comprising a gown from shoulder to knee plus a set of trousers with leggings going down to the ankles. Eh? You know, I saw the photograph that in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
These ladies look like they were wearing Boswell Circus tents and swimming. But let's go over then to 1946. It says that the name for the bikini, that's when it was, the name for the bikini design was coined in 1946 by Parisian engineer Louis Renard, the designer of the bikini. He named the swimsuit after Bikini Atoll. It's an island where 4 days before that, testing on the atomic bomb was taking place. And therefore, he named this also the bikini. It's small and explosive. He knew that's what's going to happen. Hey, that's a good one for Dr. Anwar.
Another good one, yeah.
Bikini came about from the island called Bikini where the atom bomb was tested.
Jeez.
And it goes on to say, more revealing than a one-piece swimsuit, the bikini was slow to be adopted, and in many countries it was banned from beaches and public places.
Oh.
The Vatican declared it sinful.
Yeah.
While still considered risque, the bikini gradually became a part of popular culture when film stars Brigitte Bardot, Raquel Welch, Ursula Andress, and others began wearing them on public beaches and in films. And you know what? For some time, many women were arrested for wearing the bikini around that 1946 onwards.
Imagine, huh?
So, yes, they were prosecuted. So, why am I telling you all of this? Well, as you can see, there has been a gradual undressing of women over the past century from being covered completely to the almost naked costumes we find today.
Yeah.
So the big question is, what has this got to do with values?
Mm.
What, dear Mr. Nicolas Salocrazy, has this taking off of clothes got to do with French values that you speak about?
Yeah.
Eh? Muslim women must adopt to this. That is pure unadulterated nonsense.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with civilization or Western, or whether it's Western or otherwise, or even with culture or values or anything. It's got everything to do with madness and, of course, hatred.
Yeah. What a turn in events, Uncle Abe.
Yes.
I say, what a turn in events.
That's right. Exactly.
Gee.
Well, it's divided the French society anyway, so that's a good thing.
Said sorry. Regarding that, you know, dear listeners, what they say is the terror attacks July 14 in French gave, they say, you know, grounds to justify such a ban. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult to hide a bomb under the bikini.
Yeah, gee. Okay, maybe let's take it further. Much to talk about here. How about shedding some light on the elections?
U.S. elections, then. Well, the two biggest disasters to hit America this century are, firstly, the destruction of the Twin Towers. No doubt about that. The second one is another towering inferno.
Mm.
Far worse than just the two buildings that fell to the ground. Even more shocking. And that is the possibility that a donkey could become the president of the United States. Yes, folks, I am speaking about that joke on two legs, Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton is just about 3 or 4 percentage points ahead of him in the latest polls. Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. I will kill for Trump. That's right, folks. I will kill for Trump. He's my man. He's got my vote. He's going to make America great again. That is his slogan.
Yeah.
Sounds so good. Eh? Actually, quite brilliant when he's speaking to thousands of his supporters, but only if he's reading from a big TV screen. Two screens, one on the left side in front of him and one on the right side. So he makes a, he says a sentence, reading from one screen, then he looks at the other one from the next for the next sentence.
Oh.
So it looks like he is addressing the whole crowd when you look at him, moving his head from left to right. Of course, you don't see the screens when you are watching him. The way he moves his silly head from side to side looks like he is watching a table tennis match. But you know what? You know what? It's a pity. It's a pity. They refused me a visa to go to the good old US of A few months ago.
Oh.
And I still wonder why. I'm always speaking such nice things about America every week. Ne, Molana?
Gee.
They should have given me a visa. Then I would have gone across and become Donald Trump's speechwriter. And Hillary Clinton wouldn't have stood a chance. The speech would be brilliant. In fact, I've already written it out. This is what Donald Trump would have said. I'm going to make America great again. That's right, folks. I'm going to make America great again. So great, that you won't believe it. Yes, we're going to be great. And what I mean is that I'm going to take America to great. I'm going to take America to the Great Depression. That's right, folks. You may remember that the Great Depression, the Great Depression, in fact, in 2 days' time, the 4th of September is the anniversary of the Great Depression. September 4th, 1929, when the stock markets crashed, people lost their jobs, people committed suicide. It's happened right here in the United States of America, and it spread around the world, destroying the economies of most countries. So my fellow Americans, when I become president of America, America will be great again. Yes, we will have that Great Depression all over again. I have some great plans. Yes, these plans are so great, you better believe it. Very great, great plans. People say, I don't know anything about foreign policy. That is a lie spread by crooked Hillary. Obama failed us with his foreign policy. He failed us on the Israeli-Palestine conflict. It's a disaster, folks. I tell you, it's a disaster. I tell you. I'm going to fix that. It's going to be peace. I promise you. Peace like you've never seen before. I will do that. Israel will have peace. I will do that by removing all the Palestinians and taking them over to Pakistan. That's their place. Pakistan, Palestine, it's all the same. Why didn't anyone think of that? It's all radical Islam. Put them all together and Israel will have no problem anymore. That's my brilliant plan. Crooked Hillary won't say radical Islam. Why? Because she created ISIS. Her close advisor is Huma Abedin. Can you believe it? A Muslim is her advisor, Huma Abedin. She may as well get her advice from Homer Simpson. It's not funny, folks. Her father was a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you get that? A radical Islam group with the same ideas as ISIS. They chop off heads, folks. So crooked Hillary created ISIS. Can you see that? So she won't do anything about it. But when I become president, I'm gonna bomb the whole place. Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, the whole bang shoot. That's right, folks.
Yeah.
Bomb the whole place. And there's a reason why I'm gonna do this. I'm a genius, folks. It will make the Muslims very mad. So mad. Very mad. And more of them will come to the United States to blow themselves up and kill innocent Americans. So I will declare martial law and round all of the Muslims up in the United States. I will round them up and put them into concentration camps and then send them to Pakistan. And that's the end of the radical Islam problem in the United States. So in my first year, the Muslims will be out of the United States. And Israel will have total peace. That's right, complete peace. Yes, Israel is our ally, our best friend. It's a wonderful country, a peace-loving country.
Yeah.
They are experts. These Israelis are experts in many fields, especially when it comes to building a wall. So I'm gonna ask my good friends, the Israelis, to come over here and build that great wall between the U.S. and Mexico. To keep the stinking, rotten Mexican murderers and rapists out of our country. As I said, I will round up the 11 million Mexicans in our country and boot them out. So, we Americans won't have to rely on these illegal immigrants anymore. Yes, folks, we will sweep our own streets. We will collect our own garbage. We will clean our own toilets. We're going to get up early to do this, even though many of us are keeping two jobs to make ends meet. America is going to be great again into the Great Depression, and we're going to bring jobs back. Our manufacturing will be done right here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Our iPhones must not be manufactured in China. Nothing will be manufactured in China. So when we manufacture here, it will be more expensive. Everything will be more expensive. So Americans won't be able to afford it, and we won't be able to sell it overseas. So our trade will suffer, and our economy will sink, and we will have the Great Depression again. I'm a genius, folks. Can you see that? But the biggest secret,
yeah.
Folks, listen to this. The biggest secret, which I haven't spoken about to anyone. Yes, folks, it's a big secret. To make America into a Great Depression again. I have a plan, a big one. I have been looking at South Africa.
Yeah.
Yes, South Africa, a great country. I have learned some wonderful things from them. Yeah, and so, to help me with dealing with the economy, I have invited the Gupta family to join me at the White House. Yes, folks, they have already started packing up and coming to the United States. So there you are, folks. Vote for me as president. I promise you, America will have the Great Depression again. Thank you for your support. God bless America.
Uncle Levy, you're the man. Thank you for that. Yes, this guy, many analysts say he's going to be bad for the environment as well. 837, Uncle Levy, let's take it further. One more story, inshallah. The one we normally look forward to. Also, light at the end of the tunnel, Uncle Levy.
Right.
Be ready.
Tony from Mirbank was once again in ICU. His friend Ghulam Bhai went to visit him. And Ghulam Bhai asked him, "Hey, Ronnie, what's that big gumro on your head, that big lump on your head with a cut?" And Ronnie replied, "Hey, Gullu, what I must tell you, man, I got hit with a heavy butter dish." And Gullu asked, "What happened?" And Ronnie replied, "Hell, you know what? Can't please a woman, eh? Even when you say good things, they get cross." And Gullu asked, "What happened, man?" And Ronnie says, "You know, we were sitting in the dining room having supper, and Pushpa said, 'Hey, Ronnie, how come when we got married, you took the small piece of steak and gave me the big one? Just after we got married, you used to do that. Now you take the big one and give me the small piece. I think you don't love me anymore, eh?'" So I said to her, I said, "No, man, nonsense, darling. The thing is, your cooking is much better now." Hell, that butter dish came flying through the air, Gullu. Have you got time for one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like a longish one, little bit, right? Ladies, this one is for you. I'm sure you love it. I don't know why I'm saying it, but it's Women's Month, so I feel generous. One day, three men were trekking through a jungle when they came across a violent, raging river. They had no idea how to cross the river, so the first man decided to pray, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross the river." Immediately, he grew big muscles in his arms and legs, and he managed to swim across the river in a couple of hours, nearly drowning twice. The second man saw this, and he also prayed. He said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river." Suddenly, a boat appeared from nowhere, and he battled across the river in an hour, nearly capsizing twice. The third man saw this, and he prayed, "Please, God, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross the river."
Yeah.
Immediately, he turned into a woman. She got a map in her hand. She looked at it. She walked upstream 100 meters and crossed over the river from a bridge that was there. Now, let me proceed further. Ladies, you really enjoyed that one, right? But I want to tell you something, ladies. Switch off right now, please. You won't like this one. And I hope my Roxana is not listening. Otherwise, no fish curry and rotla
tonight, Uncle Avi.
No fish curry and rotla. I wonder if people still make rotlas.
Yeah.
Or is it completely lost to the new generation of pastas and castas and I don't know, all kinds of things. Anyway, ladies, please switch off now. You've been warned. So, difference between man and woman observed at the drive-in, drive-up ATM machine. You know, in America, they've got this. I don't know if you got in Joburg, but just like the KFC drive-through, you don't get out of your car. So in the same way, you drive up to the ATM, open your window, and reach out to the ATM machine and do the thing there, right?
Okay.
Here's what a man would do. Number one, pull up to the ATM. Two, insert card. Three, enter PIN number and account. Four, take cash, card, and receipt, and drive off.
Okay.
Here's what a woman would do. Pull up to the ATM. Check makeup in rearview mirror. Shut off engine. Put keys in purse. Get out of car because you parked a bit far from the machine. Hunt for card in the purse. Insert a card. Hunt in purse for old checkers till slips with PIN number written on it. Enter PIN number. Study instructions for at least 2 minutes. Hit cancel. Re-enter correct PIN number. Hit cancel again. Call husband to get correct PIN number. Check balance. Look for envelope. Look in purse for pen. Make out deposit slip. Sign the check. Make deposit. Study instructions. Make cash withdrawal. Get in car. Check makeup. Look for keys. Start car. Check makeup again. Start pulling away. Stop. Back up to the machine. Get out of car. Take your card and the receipt. Get back in the car. Put car in wallet. Put card in wallet. Put receipt in checkbook. Enter deposits and withdrawals in checkbook. Make place in purse for wallet and checkbook. Check the makeup again. Put car in gear. It goes in reverse. Put car in drive. Drive away from machine. Travel 3 kilometers. Release parking brake. Hey, brothers, don't laugh too much. No fish curry and rotla tonight for you.
Karevi, jazakallah so much. Our engineers are really laughing the other side. Really enjoyed it, my brother. Allah keep you smiling. Allah keep you happy for always, Uncle Avi.
Jazakallah khair.
Lovely weekend, Uncle Avi.
I'll try my best, inshallah.
No curry for you tonight. Right, assalamu alaikum, Uncle Avi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.